This morning we're continuing our sermon series on learning from the parables of Jesus. And we've been in parables for a while, so every week I kind of reintroduce parables, and we'll talk about that here still. But I'm really enjoying this series. I'm really enjoying just studying these parables. My intention is to be here one more week after this one, and then go into our summer series in the book of Proverbs. But I've really been enjoying this series. I think these parables give us insights into the way that Jesus interacted with people, which is kind of cool. And that's something that we haven't really talked about. This is the way that Jesus taught people. This is the words that he said out loud. Most of the scripture that we've been studying over the last 2 months has been red letters, if you have that kind of a Bible. This is all the actual teaching of Jesus. And so that's really, really cool to me. This is the way that Jesus interacted with people. The way that he taught the crowds, the way that he illustrated things very beautifully to people. This is what he taught and the way that he taught. Jesus used common life scenarios to teach deep spiritual truths to those who are following him. Parables help us to understand who God is, who we are, and who the kingdom of God is. They are a direct teaching that goes alongside with our lives to help us understand things. Parables help us to paint our own pictures. As Jesus describes a scenario, we get to invent that in our mind. We get to start painting pictures and making images of who those people are and what those things might look like. And that gives us those, oh, I get it, moments. Parables also make things very portable. Makes the story very easy to carry. Makes it easy for us to pass it along to somebody else as we commit them to memory. As we think about those stories and we unpack them, we start to get a deeper and richer understanding of what Jesus is saying. And then we can share that. As people start to ask us questions, we can say, well, you know, there's this story in the Bible where Jesus told about a man who had some sons. And we can share the hope of Jesus in that. Parables make things interesting as we find ourselves in these characters and situations. We think about who we are naturally and who God would want us to be as we find ourselves. But wait a second, I identify way too much with this character that God is not painting a very nice picture of. Wait a second, I'm identifying way too much with this son who's running his mouth a lot. I identify with this son who ran away from some things. I identify as this soil that's a little bit rocky. Parables make things interesting. Who are we supposed to be? As we follow Jesus, we lean on his teachings to know how to live our lives and what to expect from the world around us. As we listen to his stories, we get to chew on some of those deeper meanings and see how his teachings still speak to us today. This morning, we're going to look at two parables, both found in the same chapter that we were in last week. And coming right after this parable that we studied last week. So if you have a Bible, please turn with us to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. If you remember last week, if you were here last week, great. If you weren't, I'm going to share a little bit, but all of our sermons are online. They're found on our Facebook page and on our website. And you can go back and listen to that. But if you remember last week, we discussed that this chapter, Matthew chapter 13, seems to be a description of the church era of the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God really would encompass all of history because God is sovereign. God created the universe. So the kingdom of God was established in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when he said, in the beginning, that's when it started. That's the kingdom of God. And it goes all the way through the end of Revelation. That's the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 13 describes the era of the kingdom of God that we are in. The church era, the time where we live and breathe. This is the already, but not yet, time in history. This is the time between the rejection of Jesus when he came and lived on earth and was rejected by his people, died on the cross. This is the time between the rejection and the redemption, the time that we're looking forward to, the time that we are hoping for, the time that we are excited about. We are existing in the kingdom of God and waiting on the return of our King. And Jesus is already King. But the kingdom is not physically eternal here yet. We're not physically experiencing the goodness of it all yet. We are in the already saved, but not yet in his presence time. And in that, we know from last week, there's going to be some weeds that grow up. There's going to be some stuff that grows up because God put it there. And there's going to be some stuff that grows up because the enemy has planted some stuff. And the instruction from the Lord is that we leave it there, but that the harvest is coming. The Lord will send out reapers into the field, and they will handle the wheat and the wheat. Then, following that, in Matthew chapter 13, we get to verse 31 through 33, and Jesus throws out two very short parables. You get two parables in three verses. So not a lot of space and time there. It says, he presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when grown, it's taller than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and mixed into 50 pounds of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told these two parables here, just real quick, pretty short. The kingdom of heaven is like mustard seed. And then the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And that's an interesting thing, because usually when the Bible talks about leaven, it's referring to a bad thing. Here we need to suspend that thought process and say, wait a second, here the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. So we'll talk about that here in a moment. Leaven today is positive, okay? I need you to know that. Leaven today is positive. You can't think of it like we do in the rest of Scripture where leaven is sin. Today, leaven is good, okay? Just today. Or any other time you read these parables, which come up pretty often. Jesus did tell these two parables at least one other time, and that's something that you need to know. Jesus told these parables here to these people, and he also told them at least one other time. The reality is that it's recorded two other times. It's recorded in Luke chapter 13 and again in the Gospel of Mark. So we call those the Synoptic Gospels. Those are the Gospels that just go through the story of Jesus and his teachings. And at least, or in all three of those Synoptic Gospels, these two parables are mentioned, but the details get a little bit different. What do we do with that? Well, we want to be careful. It would be very easy for us to say, well, the details are different, so the Bible must be wrong. Jesus told this story here about the mustard seed, and it's to this group of people. But then in another story, he's doing it in a synagogue. So that must not be the same. Or the Bible is wrong. Well, the reality is, it's pretty easy to get across. That's a pretty easy thing to understand. Details surrounding these parables are different, and that might cause people to fall astray. But the reality for us is that we look at it and say, well, if a guy has a good story, he's going to tell it a few times. And you know that if you've ever hung out with a guy that has any sort of gray anywhere on his body at all. If a guy has a good story, he's going to tell it a few times. And if you are close enough to that person, you will probably hear that story a few times. And those of us who love those people and are gracious with them just enjoy the story another time. And we just do that. There's too many people laughing back and forth. For a reason, right? Because we know that about people. And Jesus, being a consistent teacher, is going to teach these things a few times. It is very likely that Jesus took these two parables and used them over and over and over again. Because parables are something that are easy to understand to a point. Parables are something that are portable to a point. Parables are something that you can carry with you and share with others. So Jesus probably told this crowd that gathered around him that made him get out onto a boat. And he probably also chastised some Pharisees with it. He probably told the story a few different times and in different locations. Because when people have a story to tell, they tell it more than once. It's kind of fun for me. I do hang out with a lot of people who are significantly older than me. And usually, you get to hear those stories 5, 6, 7 times. But that even happens with younger people. If you get excited enough about something, you're going to share it over and over again. Jesus was excited about the kingdom of God, and he wanted you to understand the kingdom of God. We can know for sure that Jesus told these two parables twice, once as a response to Pharisees, once as a general teaching to the crowds after he left the house. Matthew and Mark may be the same recording. They may be the same occasion, but Luke is a different occasion. Okay? So if somebody says, well, here's a problem with the Bible, you can say, no, that's two different times. Pretty easy to know that because the details are different. The reality is I go to Walmart 5 times a week. If you say Adam went to Walmart, well, you can be talking about any of those times. Adam told a story at Walmart. Well, that's because the first day he ran into Ross, the second day he ran into Loretta. It's still a good story. The details are different. Regardless, the reality is the stories are recorded 3 different times. God, in all of his divine power, in all of his creative nature, in all of his wonderful strength and knowledge, wanted us to hear these two stories. And he wanted us to hear them together. He put them together 3 different times. If you are reading through the Bible from front to back, as some of us try to do as we start the Bible over in a year, then you would get to Luke and think, okay, this is just a review. I've heard this parable before. What do you do when a teacher is giving you a review? What does that mean? This is going to be on the test. This is important information for us to understand. The stuff that's on the review, you should have memorized. This is something God wants you to know. He told you 3 times. So what are the parables? They're very, very simple. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. So what do we know about mustard? Yellow, gross. I mean, it goes on. No, I don't like it on anything except in deviled eggs. Mustard makes deviled eggs good. And a little bit in chicken cordon bleu. You got to have a little bit of mustard for that because that makes that taste right. I don't like mustard on much anything else. So I don't even know that we have mustard in our refrigerator right now. If you're going to come over and have, we do. We do. Reese says we have mustard. Good to know. But I'll say this. I don't know enough about mustard in our house that every time we need mustard, I'm going to buy another one because we probably haven't used it since last Thanksgiving. It's probably separated. It's probably gross because we only used it for deviled eggs and now we don't need it again until we make deviled eggs again. The kingdom of heaven is like mustard. Not like mustard, like a mustard seed. What do we know about mustard seeds? To start, we need to know that Jesus tells us it is the smallest seed. Again, there might be some problems with this. Botanists, scientists, worldly people today would say, well, that's not the smallest seed. The smallest seed is really from an orchid. In fact, it is 4 times smaller than mustard. Is Jesus wrong? Hey. This kid's sleeping, woke up for that. Is Jesus wrong? No. That's all we need. That's your whole lesson today, actually. The reality is that as we try to understand Scripture and we try to know that that we have a correct understanding, seeds change. Some of us work in environments where we get to see that. We're either hauling corn or dumping corn or elevating corn, drying corn. We see every year there's a new formula. Every year there's a different type of corn. Because we've manipulated it. We've changed it. We've done something to it. We've crossbred it and we decided, well, these ones die if you don't give enough water, so we'll only save these seeds this year. Well, these ones are attracted to these bugs, or these bugs are attracted to these plants, so we're going to get rid of those and we're only going to keep these seeds this year. And we only plant the ones that are good, and so over time, seeds change. Over time, things are different. New plants happen through crossbreeding and intentional work of botanists and scientists. So I can't stand here and say that Jesus is wrong. And you can't tell me and convince me that Jesus is wrong, even though he said it's the smallest seed. The reality is, God knows what he created. And the people that Jesus was talking to would have known at least categorically that this was the smallest seed available to them at that time. Is it the smallest seed today? No. Does that matter? No. Does it prove the Bible is wrong? No. Corn looks nothing like it looked before. Bananas look nothing like they looked before. That's why you have banana-flavored toffee, or taffy, not toffee. That'd be gross. Banana-flavored taffy that tastes nothing like modern bananas because they're using a flavor that doesn't exist anymore from a banana that doesn't exist anymore because we've bred that banana out. It didn't work. We want the big ones, the ones that you get more per pound of and that rot very quickly on your counter and you promise you're going to make banana bread and then you don't. Never happened in my house or Betty's house. Or anyone else's house that said they were going to bring banana bread ever. It doesn't happen that way. God knows what he created. It doesn't matter that this says Jesus said it was the smallest seed. Don't let people hang you up on that. We're going to keep going. The reality is that these seeds are very small. The point is made, the seeds are very small. So small, in fact, that it seems insignificant. If we dropped a mustard seed on the floor in this room, you would not know there was a mustard seed on the floor in this room. In fact, you could probably scatter 50 mustard seeds in this room, and the only person that would know is the lady that vacuums the rug. Those are weird sounds. This is different. That's not just regular donut. That's chunky donut. Mustard seeds are small and insignificant. For us, it probably would take about 100 of them in one small group for you to draw your attention to it. And even then, you wouldn't think very much of it. Oh, that's weird. Small patch of yellow or black or whatever kind you have. That's weird. Something going on over there. But despite its tiny start, the mustard seed grows to an astonishing size. the one that Jesus is describing, grows to 10 to 15 feet tall. In some varieties, it's got long, leafy sprouts that are 10 inches in length. This isn't a small plant. It is not insignificant. These are big bushes that even look like trees. And one plant creates hundreds more. Today, black mustard, so that you know, which is the mustard that would have been prevalent in Israel at this time. Black mustard is considered a weed and is found in more than 40 of the 50 states. It is an invasive plant in the U.S. And they talk about it like it's very difficult to get rid of, because one plant creates hundreds more, and all of a sudden it will take over your entire field. In this story, though, as much as we can know that the seed is small, we also have to know that it was intentional. The farmer went into the field and he planted the seed. The farmer went out with the seed. He found the location that he wanted. He might have dug a hole if that's what he knew he needed to do for mustard. I don't know how to plant mustard. He probably watered it. He took care of it. He took out the things that would surround it. He made it to where it could grow. It was very intentional. And in that intentionality is potential. He found the place to plant it. He found the place that he wanted to put it. And that's the end. The farmer went out and planted it. Between planting it and it growing, things happened that we can't possibly understand, because God did a work. There is a mystical thing that happens between putting the seed in the ground and the harvest that we cannot control, we cannot force, we can influence in some ways by giving it the right things, but it happens all on its own to realize its potential. Luke chapter 8, verse 18 says, "Therefore, take care how you listen." Mark chapter 4, verse 24 says, "Pay attention to what you hear." We want to be careful about this parable, about these parables. Jesus was very intentional to tell them more than once. It's important for us to understand what they're saying. There's always a spin to it, and so we want to do this well. Because the next thing that it says is that the tree, the mustard got so big that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches. And that, over history, has been taken two separate ways. We're going to discuss that a little bit. The first way is that within the church, there's going to be problems, because we have gotten so big that we invite those problems in. Every other place in the New Testament that birds are mentioned, it's bad. If they're mentioned just as birds. If Jesus calls the bird by name, he says, "Hey, the sparrow," well, that's usually good. But if he just says birds, this is a weird Bible study thing. We've done a lot of Bible study stuff this morning. If Jesus just calls them birds, it's usually bad. In every other instance. So, we have to understand that there's a potential because of such rapid growth, because of such humongous potential, there might be some stuff in there that we don't want. Birds building nests. We planted grass out in our yard. I told you guys a few weeks ago, we're trying to get all these spots filled in. Where my kids stomp, or I don't know what they do. There's just no grass in certain areas. And what that means for us is just a muddy mess. So I'm trying to fill in the grass. And so you put grass down, and then you put straw over that, and then you water it, and then eventually, hopefully, grass is coming up. And we're we still don't see any grass out here, not very much, because we're trying to do the same thing here. But what happened immediately after I put that straw out is a bird came. I started collecting that straw and built a nest right next to the light fixture under my porch. And it is the biggest, most elaborate little bird nest that I've ever seen, because it had so much straw available that it made a huge castle of a nest for the smallest little bird. And it keeps bringing stuff in every single day. I see that little bird fly up there, and I don't have the heart to knock the nest down. Because it's kind of cool. But I digress. Sometimes birds are a nuisance, and we have to understand that. So there's two different things that we need to see this morning. There's two different sides of this. First, as it applies to the church as a whole, and second, as it applies to us individually. For the church, we need to see that there are small beginnings. We see this as each individual church is planted, but we also see this in all of Christianity. All of Christianity started with 12. And only 11 of those lasted. And now, today, we exist on every continent. We exist in every jungle. We exist in every backwoods corner of everything. The sun does not set on Christianity. We are everywhere. And it started with 12. And just like mustard, we're probably considered a weed to most people. We exist where we are not wanted. We exist where we are not welcome. We exist where we were not intentionally planted. We exist where the birds carried us and pooped. We're there. Because the plane took the missionary and they killed that one. And the planes took another missionary and they killed that one. And the planes took another missionary, and finally that guy gets to speak for a few minutes. Then they still kill him, but he's talked to a few people now. That is the measure of our resolve. That is the reality of our faith. Because we started with 12. But even today, we're sending out. Even today, we are growing. Even today, we are expanding. Even today, we are going everywhere there is to go. You are sitting here today because 12 guys paid attention to another guy that they saw on the shore talking to 100 people. You're here today because a handful of people decided to listen to Jesus. That's on the big church scale. On a small church scale, Calvary Foursquare exists in Keokuk because a handful of people decided to listen to the Lord and do the things that God called them to do. You're here today because some people, a few of them are still here, got together who knew Jesus and planted a church. You're here today because a handful of small people faithfully gave year after year after year. Small thing. We're here today because a few faithful people loved and served the Lord. Started with just 12. But we can know from this parable that God isn't leaving it there. It was the smallest of all seeds, but when grown, it's taller than the garden plants and becomes a tree. We talk a lot about how we as a church export. That's the reality of our mustard seeds. We start here and send out. We start here and grow. We pollinate and crossbreed and move out and we expand. It started small, but God isn't leaving it there. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 tells us God is building his church. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Nothing is going to stop the church. Not the big church and not here. And we have to know that God did this on purpose. He went into the field and he planted the seed. He put us exactly where he wanted us to grow. It started with 12. A couple of years ago, if you would have looked at our church, we were gathering as a group of like 25, 30 some Sundays. Maybe. God is faithful and we grow. Individually, we are also this. And that takes on a whole nother spiritual nature for us. Luke chapter 17, verse 21 says, no one will say, see here or there, for you see, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Other translations help us to understand that the kingdom of God is in us. The kingdom of God is in you individually. It is there. We are mustard. We have our own small beginnings. If you think about your testimony as a believer, it may have started with your family, pouring into you, giving you an understanding of faith, giving you an understanding of who you were supposed to be, forcing you maybe to be at church. Or it may have been that an evangelist came and talked to you and said, hey, looks like you're in trouble. I know a guy. I can't fix that, but I know a guy. Let me introduce you to the one who gives me peace. Let me introduce you to the only one who can give you any answers. It started small. It may have started in a hotel room reading a Gideon Bible. It may have started in the military where you were just so lost, you needed some sort of hope. We are mustard. We have our own small beginnings. Sometimes it still feels small. We've been believers for a long time. Are we accomplishing anything? Have we done anything at all? We are small seeds. It still feels like that sometimes. Jesus is good to us in it. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says, because of your little faith, he told them, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You are the kingdom of God. You are in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in you. This is the kingdom. Yeah, it's a mustard seed. We are like mustard. That's enough. A mustard seed is enough. Small is enough for what God is going to do, because God is going to do the work. The farmer can be very intentional about planting. He can be very intentional about watering. He can be very intentional about the nitrates and the citrates and all the things to make it all right, the fertilizers, the weed killers. But at the end of the day, God does the work that makes that plant grow, the same as he does in us. And Philippians 1:6 gives us that promise. I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That is our promise as small mustard seeds, as insignificant ones, as ones that find no importance or little importance, ones that would be passed by, ones that need 100 of us to make a difference or for anybody to see us at all. The promise is that God does the work and that he makes us grow. We might be a small seed. That might be all that we have. That might be all of the faith that we can pull together. But the promise of God is that we grow. We will be mighty. We will be numerous. We have huge potential. And all of that potential that we talk about here with the mustard is able to be seen. the reality is the people look at us as we live our lives, and the growth that we have is seen. So much so that birds start to take refuge. And that might be good or bad, like I said before. Most of the time in the New Testament, if Jesus doesn't name the bird, like when he says the sparrow, then he is referring to a nuisance. And some of us have had some nuisances take refuge under our faith. Some of us have had those people abuse us because of our faith, because of our goodness, because of the things that God is doing in us. They have come in and said, oh, let me get a little bit of that. Let me have some of those resources that you have. And just like a bird, they start tearing things up, ripping leaves so they can build their own thing. Some of that is a nuisance. But they might also help spread the seeds. And the creator of the universe tells us that this will be our nature. We will be a refuge. Birds will build their homes here. And we know that throughout history. That's why when you look at hospitals, they are named after Saint whoever of whatever. Because Christians decided we're going to put a hospital there. Because Christians decided there's going to be an orphanage over here. I have enough faith that we're going to build something in this place. We're going to do something here. The kingdom of God is going to take ground here. We're going to be a refuge for little ones. We're going to take care of hurt ones. We're going to be provision here. And yeah, that might get torn up. But the creator of the universe tells us this will be your nature. The kingdom of God is like this. Are the windows going to get broken out? Probably. Are you going to have to keep building the same thing over and over again? Definitely. But we will be a refuge. Birds will build their homes here. We will be a sanctuary to the lost. That will be our nature. We will be a help to the helpless. We will be provision to the impoverished. We will do that corporately and individually. We are going to be that sanctuary that protects others from the rain. We will be that sanctuary that protects others from the scorching sun. Some of it will be a nuisance. Anybody served other people by... Anybody served the Lord and in that served other people and then been a nuisance? Yeah, almost always. Almost every time we serve people, it's going to be frustrating. Well, they're just going to spend that money on booze. Yeah, probably. That's their problem. My problem is to exist as a bush that they can hide under. I'm supposed to be mustard. Jesus tells another parable here, and I need to go through this one a little bit faster. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and mixed into 3 measures of flour until it was leavened, until it was all leavened. Like I said in the beginning, we need to understand that leaven here is good because the kingdom of heaven is the leaven. Who is that? That's us. The mustard talks about something that is very visible. It's a tall and invasive plant. Leaven is different. Leaven is a small amount of fermented something. If it's yeast, then it's going to be a living organism. But it might just be a fermented dough or yeast that's introduced to something that's bigger. You only need a small amount of yeast to raise a whole lot of bread. And a small amount mixed in causes the whole thing to rise and change. A small amount of yeast causes the whole thing to grow. In this parable, the function of yeast is clearly positive and transformative. The reality is that we need to know that this 50 pounds of flour is a lot. It's meant to be a substantial amount of bread. It will create a lot of substance, probably enough to feed 100 people. We need to like think about that for a moment. This is a disproportionate amount of yeast to flour. It only takes a couple of us to cause big changes. In this story, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and mixed. And in some translations, it says that she took and hid the leaven in the flour. What does that look like? Those of you that are baking know that when you're mixing the dry ingredients together, that you're really tucking everything inside of itself. Yes, there's going to be more flour than anything else because that's the bulk of it. But once you get it all mixed together, you can't then start picking out individual ingredients. You put sugar in there. If it's big enough, you might be able to pick a piece of sugar out. Probably not. Everything has gotten mixed up together. It's hidden amongst itself. The work of the leaven is probably unseen because it's happening inside. It works subtly, gradually, and thoroughly from within. What is that? How does that help us with the kingdom of God? What does that look like for us? The kingdom of God does not always manifest in outward fanfare or political power. It often works invisibly, changing hearts and lives from the inside out. And again, we are the kingdom of God. The leaven then continues its work until it was all leavened, until everything was affected. And as we look at the church age, we can see that across the world. Everything is affected by the church existing. We don't agree 100% with Catholicism, and in fact, we've been talking about that with the youth group. But we can trace our heritage back to the Catholic Church, and then we can see that news of the Pope dying affected everybody in the world. That took up your television for days. Does it matter to us today? Not so much. We're Protestants. We exist in a little church in Keokuk. We don't answer to that guy. But the church existing has affected everybody. The kingdom of God being in people has affected everybody on a big scale. There's a complete and pervasive influence of the kingdom in the world. It's a transformative power that affects everybody. So corporately, that means that us existing as a church affects our community. As we go into our places and we do our things, and as I look out into a church that has got bosses and workers alike, people who are at every level of management in organizations, every level of existence in different places, this little church goes out into a community and infects a lot of people. By the way that we do our business, by the way that we exist, by the way that we operate in the world. That is the nature of leaven in our community. The kingdom of God, though it begins small and operates in a way that is almost microscopic, possesses a pervasive and transformative power that eventually will influence and permeate every aspect of life. It's going to affect everyone and everything. And this woman mixed us up into 50 pounds of flour. So that just a few of us going out would have big effects. So where does that bring us today? I'm going to come to the end. I'm going to get to what do we got to know? How do we operate now? The first thing is not to despise small things. Jesus talks about in both of these parables that we are small and insignificant if you take it at face value. In Keokuk, somebody might know your name. But if you go to Iowa City, it's far less likely. Nobody cares that we exist there. We are small and we feel insignificant. But the Bible says, do not despise small things. Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The Lord rejoices in small work. The Lord rejoices in what we are doing here. Do not despise small beginnings. This is enough. The second thing is that we need to know that God is still working. How do we know? Jesus hasn't come back yet. We may be choking each other out, as plants do. We may be forcing each other to expand, as plants do. But God is still working and we are still growing until the harvest. So with that, we want to be mustard and yeast. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is this. It is mustard, seeds, and leaven. We are supposed to start small, but have great influence. So the last thing that we need to see in all of this is that we, as Christians, must take ground. We must be looking at expansion. We must be looking at growth. We must be looking at sharing the gospel. And that means going into the world and planting seeds. That means going into the world and sharing what we know, sharing good news, sharing the mess. Because as we go, people are going to take refuge under us. And they're going to be affected by our presence. Take ground. We're not going to be perfect. Some of the world is going to consider us a nuisance. That's okay. God planted us here. When we're done, He will uproot us and take whatever harvest He wants. God put me here. God put you here, wherever here is for you. You know, some of us are just snowbirding up here for a few days while it's cool enough. God put us here. Take ground. Have influence. That's what all of social media is about right now, right? It's about influencing others. Everybody should buy this really cool shirt that I got because it's cool and you can get it on with my code. You can get 10% off or whatever. Influence, influence, influence. Take ground. We should be better at that than anybody else. Take ground. Sharing what we have. Because that is our nature. To influence. That is our command. To go into the world and to make disciples of all nations. And in that, we will be a refuge. We will be the sanctuary to the lost. We will be the help to the helpless. We will be provision to the impoverished. And we're going to do that by ourselves, and we're going to do that together. Amen? Know that God isn't done. Don't despise small beginnings. Take ground. Let's pray. God, that feels like a thick Bible study kind of a of a thought process to get through. Seems like we've dealt with a lot of really wordy things. But your points are pretty clear. And it seems like you're very intentional about us knowing this stuff. God, help us to understand your word. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to go into the world and to be mustard and yeast. God, I give you thanks for these people. I give you thanks for the things that you are doing here and among us. God, I ask for peace in each situation that we have represented here this morning. There are so many things that are weighing heavy on our hearts today. Some of us came in here this morning with heavy doubt, with heavy situations, with worrisome troubles. God, we ask for peace. We ask for healing in the physical ailments that are coursing through our bodies. God, we ask for peace in that as well. God, I thank you for all of that. I thank you for provision in our lives. I thank you for this wonderful day that we get to go into that you have made. We ask for peace and we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.